first time in a long time. But it seems like just yesterday, when we were side by side. Beast mode, no one's blocking our way. These other guys tried it, but them man ain't got the skills of Braden and Davey, brazen and raging, bringing you the thrills and spills. Right here in full gear, about to blow up like TNT. Us man are too sweet, Brady, DVP, the BD elite. Right here in full gear, about to blow up like TNT. Us man are too sweet, Brady, DVP, the BD elite.
Hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for BD Elite. You found us on the Up Next feed, whatever podcast app you're using. And we're also live
on twitch.tv/upnextpodcast and youtube.com/upnext. Hello, Twitch room. Hello, YouTube room. How are we doing?
Hey, go follow us on YouTube. We got to get those numbers up. These are rookie numbers. Come on. We need 1,000. We don't do goals here very often, but we need...
We've set ourselves a goal and we're going to do it.
Yeah, but you guys, what's going on? We need our BDE expert. What do we call our BDE universe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Up Next Experts.
Up Next Experts.
Our friends.
Right. Yeah.
Our friends. That's right. Go follow us. Subscribe to us on YouTube there. It does us wonders. We want to get to a K, 1,000. We're so close. So please go follow us. Welcome to BD Elite. This is the show where we're talking all about some AEW Dynamite on the, like, going forward to the Forbidden Door pay-per-view in a few weeks. But I feel like there's some other news in wrestling.
Yeah, some pretty big news today.
The big news is... Wait, what is the big news? Sorry.
You're okay.
Yeah, I was trying to think, wait, is there anything else that I'm missing today?
Vince!
Oh, yeah. Vince McMahon, what the hell's going on?
I don't know. There's, what is it? New York Journal, was it? No.
Yeah, New York Times.
New York Times, I don't know.
Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal, that's the one. Reporting what, that some hush money happened or something like that?
WWE board probes secret $3 million hush pact by CEO Vince McMahon, ooh, sources say. Wall Street Journal. Yeah, looking into this, it's a pretty messed up story. It's something that a lot of wrestling fans always talk about, especially, you know, Dark Side of the Ring showcasing the dark side of pro wrestling. A lot of wrestling fans always bring up, hey, what about Vince McMahon? There's got to be something there. And now today, finally, it seems like a lot of those people are going online saying, like, I told you people, so there's something going on with that Vince McMahon. Not quite what, like, it's just a whole weird story, especially when I read the Wall Street Journal article just earlier. There's details in it that get a little strange. John Laurinaitis and Johnny Ace, you know, just weird.
Yeah. It's just a interesting time. Like, if you think back from like January with Shane kind of leaving the company, and then you've had like Triple H kind of, you know, come public about his health and retiring, and then Stephanie kind of being relieved of her duties and moving away just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Vince trying to get in one more match.
One last match. That's very suspicious. It's,
I don't know. Everything seems very odd.
Sell, buy.
Yeah, we were joking the other day about Jeff Jarrett possibly taking over one day, and it's
WWE TNA.
It's just honestly everything that's been happening. It feels like season 3 of Succession. When I was reviewing that show last year, like we'd say we're talking about this because it feels like this is Vince McMahon, and then you've had pretty much everything play out, like Nick Khan coming in, this tech billionaire taking over the company, the children leaving one by one, and now the boss.
The thing, like Rick, when the Ric Flair Dark Side of the Ring, it's almost like he knew that was coming. So remember, he asked for his release. It was almost like he was trying to go on this goodbye tour, which didn't stop him. He's still doing this goodbye tour. But it felt like, now looking at this in hindsight, like, did the McMahons all knew this was coming? And they did kind of not jump ship, but kind of like, you know, get their goodbyes out of the way.
Yeah.
Triple H ain't doing NXT anymore, because trust me, you don't want to be doing that. anymore. I don't know. It's really weird. I want to see kind of where this goes and what happens. What does this mean now going forward? Is there anything? Are there changes? Are there this? Are there that? Are there going to be other people coming forward of other things? This sounds like something. Maybe someone leaked this, or I don't know if it was supposed to.
Who's the leak? Who are they?
Whistleblowers. Mm. Yeah. Vince McMahon, though, like the god of wrestling, really pro wrestling, at least in America, but like yeah, worldwide, people know who this guy is, and it does say something when yeah, for years since I've like been a kid getting into wrestling, oh that Vince McMahon, he's look out for that guy, you know, he's always up to something, that billionaire guy, so yeah, can't say I'm like. So shocked because that just as a wrestling fan, you were always
It's more just like what happens from this. This is a like a public company, so like this could be like the beginning of the end for the McMahons. In like people take over, but this is a thing with like a company, you know, shareholders and that it's not just private where they can do whatever they want and stuff. So it doesn't look good for Vinnie Mac.
Yeah, he got his last stunner in.
He got it in.
The best stunner ever happened from this past WrestleMania. Yeah, we just talked about all the McMahons. We did a review of WrestleMania 2000, talking all about every McMahon in every corner match, which I just absolutely hated. So we were talking a lot about Vince and Linda and Shane and Steph this week. But yeah, crazy news. I'm definitely interested to see what comes out of this going forward, but... I'm sure if you're listening to this, you've definitely already heard this story, so we don't need to break it down. But Johnny Ace? Really? Really?
Does that surprise you?
People power.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, before we jump into Dynamite, I really do want to see where that story goes. It seems like it could be one of the biggest stories in wrestling going forward.
Oh, yeah.
Instantly. So, yeah, definitely... got to see where this goes. Dynamite, we'll get into. I'm trying to think of other things that happened. Obviously, we talked about Jeff Hardy a little bit on
talked
Up Next
Jeff
last
yesterday.
Night. So
yeah.
Please go check that out if you want our thoughts. That's a whole thing. It was not mentioned on tonight's episode of Dynamite.
No, which I'm not surprised. Tony Khan did release a statement, didn't he, saying that he's suspended without pay and has to go for treatment and stuff. And once that's completed, they can think about bringing back or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, you're not going to put it on TV, I don't think.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to think,
I guess that's it, yeah.
Yeah. We did record some stuff today. It's funny how things work out in the world of our whole podcast stuff. We have a Patreon, and somehow things always tie in together without accidentally tying in together. We completely forgot to book a week this week, so we got our Up Yours in here, and we did Uncharted, the movie, with... Mark Wahlberg, Tom Holland, not Hardy. That would be a completely different movie. We did a review of that, which was awesome. Shout out World Champ Corey, who picked that. Then we recorded a show today, which falls into place of a 20th anniversary of TNA wrestling. And what a time to be a Christian Cage fan.
I was going
to
say, a show ending with Christian standing tall.
As a bad guy.
As a bad guy.
And...
yeah, funny how... things will come around.
So we're doing a review. World Champ patron Andrew McDonald heard us talk about how I was the only TNA show I've ever went to was this pay-per-view. So he picked it, and we chatted all about it. Destination X 2007. And I went and dug out the shirt that I could see myself wearing on the pay-per-view that we watched. And then we reviewed today. So that'll be out this weekend as well. Destination X 2007 TNA. Which we talk all about this pay-per-view, Sting versus Abyss, Last Rites, Christian Small
Joe.
Yeah,
I first time I've seen this infamous match, Sting versus Abyss.
Yeah.
And a Elevation X match.
Yeah, Scaffold.
That needs to come back, too.
I think so, yeah. And then, yeah, what else? Scott Steiner, Kurt Angle. It was a weird pay-per-view. VKM. Not the VKM you think it is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Jim Cornette.
Yeah, that's right. So we chat all about some TNA and other TNA memories on this show as well. So those two shows coming out. I mentioned our WrestleMania 2000 review is also out there. The Thing, John Carpenter's 40th anniversary of The Thing. We did a review of that. That's out on the Patreon. Go check out all the other shows. Also, we have a Forbidden Door coming up. So we decided that we're going to be doing a Ring of Honor New Japan Global Wars / War of the Worlds, whatever show. We're going to put the poll up, I think, on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Friday, Thursday night, sometime like that. And we're going to put up, and we need you guys to vote in the Facebook
group. Yeah, we're going to throw a load of different suggestions of some different kind of ROH, New Japan crossover shows, and you guys can vote. We'll put up some of like the key matches so you can see what you're voting for, and that's the one we'll do next week.
So looking forward to talking all about that. And then what else is next week? It's not already time for the 20... It can't
it's
be.
It's Obi-Wan, I think, next week.
Oh, is it next week? Obi-Wan? Because it's almost
over. We've got Obi-Wan and Face-Off coming up.
Okay, yeah. We're going to be doing a 25th anniversary review of Face-Off, so we would love feedback on that, because I know someone out there is listening like, I love that movie. Yes, I know you do, and we're going to talk all about it. But yeah, we're also watching Obi-Wan, which I'm probably going to watch the latest episode probably after this. Mm. We'll be talking all about that, so get your Star Wars feedback in eventually when that comes in if you're interested in all that. But go check us out, patreon.com. This is how we get the food on the table. Patreon.com/upnext. Acknowledge us and go support for $5 for North American tier. And let's talk about some Dynamite.
Let's do it.
From St. Louis, Missouri, from June 15th, 2022. We have Road Rager, because they're on the road. I like these graphics. Very, like...
They're like Miami kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, Miami Vice.
Blue, pink.
Almost Stranger Things a little bit. Well, we start off with the hair versus hair match for Chris Jericho, the Wizard, versus Ortiz, the Monkey.
Yep.
According to Eddie Kingston, right? That's what he calls him.
He's a monkey.
So Jericho Ortiz, the loser, has to shave his head off. I love the social media team of...
Just the hair.
Sorry, did I say head?
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta... You
head get, versus head.
Head
match.
Versus head. You get decapitated if you lose this match. No, sorry.
Take the hood off.
So the loser has to shave their hair. The social team have been posting what Jericho would look like bald. And he's like been like, cut that shit out. What do you stop this? I thought he looked pretty good. Kind of John Travolta.
I think we've seen a lot of looks with Jericho. I think he does need to do the bald thing one day.
Yeah. Yeah. So we start off with William Regal joining commentary and calls Chris Jericho. This is where I'm going to have to fact check with you, my Brit in the six here. Jericho... He Regal calls Jericho a toss pot.
Yeah, a toss pot.
Yeah, what's that?
Like an idiot, you know? You toss it, you toss pot.
Yeah, I liked it. Bring it back. Regalism of the night. Bingo right there. We start off with...
the actual definition.
You're going to get me the
definition. Yeah, stupid or obnoxious person.
I like it. Bring it back. Let's bring it over here. Toss pot in it. All right. Well, Ortiz hits a powerbomb early on Jericho, and then one of those like... no reaction splashes where he just kind of falls over for a near fall. Eventually, Jericho and him are on the apron, and they suplex each other off of it to the outside, which is pretty awesome. During picture-in-picture, Jericho's in control of the stalling suplex, and then eventually the walls, and then there's a back-and-forth with the walls of Jericho. The Jericho Appreciation Society are ringside when Ortiz is just there by himself. I was a little confused, like, where's the rest of them? Mm. When Eddie finally comes out and takes on the guys, and then Santana and Yuta are like, oh, I guess we should go out there. And then they come out. And during some of the commotion, Eddie Kingston hits the Hurricane Backfist in the ring to Jericho when the ref doesn't see. Ortiz gets the pin, 1-2. And I can't believe they got me believing that Jericho was going to lose this match.
Yeah, great, great bite here.
Yeah, great. I love when they
totally
do this.
You could have totally seen Eddie costing Jericho the match.
Yeah.
And yeah, good kick out.
So the match continues when now the ref is still distracted by all the chaos. When Fuego del Sol, or so we think, gets involved and ends up costing Ortiz the match here, allowing Jericho to gain the 1-2-3. And allows Jericho to not be the one to shave his head. And, well, actually, it wasn't Fuego del Sol because he takes off the mask, revealing Jericho's old pal, Sammy Guevara, the Spanish god.
Why did he need to be dressed as Fuego del Sol?
Yeah, it's like, I'm just going to dress up.
Like, it's like...
Maybe, like, who is this other person, the reveal, but...
You... It's not like Ortiz is mates with Fuego and he's like, oh, Fuego, you've come to say hi.
Yeah, it was definitely like, oh, what's this guy doing here? What's he? Who's this?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I see what you mean, but...
I think this is a good move. I think the Sammy stuff, he's like a super heel at the moment. People are fed up of him and Ty and all this. I think it makes sense. We kind of talked about it the other week that Sammy kind of walked away from Inner Circle, but he's not really being part of this breakup. So I like pairing him with Jericho and the Appreciation Society.
Yeah, he fits in with that. Why not? Like, they never had any beef when they broke up anyways. Oh, there's a lot of people in this group. But does this make this... We were kind of asking... We're going to Blood and Guts, so we're hyped. And we're like, how are they going to do this? Because last time, they didn't have Yuta in the match. Mm. So it was 5-on-5. So now they've added Sammy, so it's 6. Is Blood and Guts going to be 6-on-6?
Maybe, yeah.
Danielson, Yuta...
Unless you have...
Ortiz, Santana, Mox, Eddie.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's a lot of people in that match. But yeah, why not? Make it big and epic.
You could have it as the... like the tag teams enter together, maybe. Something like that.
Okay. Yeah, true.
I enjoyed the match. You know, I thought they got me with some of those near falls towards the end. And I was thinking, there is a possibility Jericho could go bald here.
It'd be funny.
But no.
After the match, Ortiz cuts his own hair, just cutting it away, and says, like, Blood and Guts, don't worry. Blood and Guts, we're going to get you back.
Yeah, Eddie's saying, like, look at that. That's a man. He's doing his word.
Fight me.
And, yeah, just monkey. Keeps going, Blood and Guts, Blood and Guts.
Blood and Guts. So, looking forward to that in a few weeks. We then get the People's Court theme, which, huge pop for me. Dun-dun-dun-dun. And it's Wardlow going up against the 20 plaintiffs.
Yes.
Because they're all the security jobber cops that he's been beating up. And, well, they're getting this match. So it's an elimination match. What does that mean? It means you just got to eliminate them. Have you ever watched, like, you know, Power Rangers?
Yeah.
Putty Patrol?
It's Smash Brothers.
Smash Bros. With the big mini little characters. Yeah, it's just like that. Except they're all plaintiffs. So, Wardlow versus plaintiffs. He's got new music, right? It's not This Is War anymore.
So, yeah, he'd had the... he also started the music in the back this week. Whereas normally he's been coming out and it's been quiet.
Yeah.
Silent since his arrest. And then he'd come out. So they changed it up this week.
This one was more loud and aggressive. Don't know if I liked it as much.
I like that This Is War.
Yeah. This might grow on me. It might grow on me for sure. Well, Wardlow comes out and he's fighting 20 bailiffs, whatever. He beats them up. He's powerbombing them. I was a little confused because he's throwing them out the ring. He's then pinning them. He's just stacking a bunch of them on top. It literally is a video game segment here. It got a little just repetitive for quite quickly where he's just
beating them. Some of his powerbombs look cool. Yeah.
Some of them look really cool, but yeah. The segment was just a little
weird. I feel they've lost some steam with Wardlow.
Yeah.
And I think it's the MJF news, all of that kind of just... overshadowed this and overshadowed his win, and they're trying to kind of find that magic again where he was beating up security all the time. So I got the idea of the match. I thought I'd kind of be into it a bit more than I was. And to be nitpicky, he didn't pin some of those shoulders to the mat.
Yeah.
He's stacking people on top of each other.
Yeah, but you're like, when there's so many, it's like, yeah, whatever.
We changed the rules.
There's so many rule changes. What's an elimination? He threw them over the rope.
Was that an elimination as well?
I think so.
We just
had Dasha being like, one is gone, two is gone. She's like, I ain't pretending I know which one's supposed to be which. Like, nah.
No, it was all right. I thought I'd enjoy this a little bit more, but it was fine.
It felt like a video game like bit here. It's just him beating up plaintiffs, bringing the Danston lobsters. So after this, top team interrupt him, and they're in the skybox. I like how Scorpio Sky has the skybox. And he's with Dan Lambert, and they're saying, you know, Wardlow, you don't have any right to that TNT title. You're pretty much a bum. When American Top Team has some friends in the crowd, Matt Hughes and
Tyron Woodley.
Tyron Woodley. That's the guy who got knocked out by Jake Paul, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that fight. That was a great, great punch. It was everyone at the was watching at my brother. Everyone was debating. It was fake. And I was like, I don't know. He looked like he was eating the ground. Yeah. So these guys are here somehow, some way, some reason. And is Wardlow going to fight these guys?
They're going to beat him up.
Yeah.
And then Wardlow just talks him out of it.
Trust me, guys. You don't want to fight me.
Yeah.
He says, you guys are from around here. Like, don't do this.
He said, we're smart guys.
Yeah, stop this. Yeah. This whole segment was just really odd to me, I found. I didn't really like it. But the Wardlow thing, definitely losing steam. And I do think he should just steamroll Sky at this point.
Yeah, so sorry, these guys basically turned and beat up Mark Sterling. And joined Wardlow.
So what, he's going to have a team of UFC fighters?
I think these were just... weren't these local, I think? I think they were just in town, so they used them, no?
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, this didn't really work for me.
Yeah.
Wardlow's challenging for the TNT title soon. So that's what they're gearing to. And I think, obviously, Wardlow's going to win, moving on. But, yeah, I can't... Like, the Dan Lambert, like, this unit doesn't really interest me a whole lot.
Well, we go to our next match, which is Will Ospreay going one-on-one with Dax Harwood. Ospreay had his debut last week on Dynamite, but his first match was taped for the Rampage show, which was a sweet match. FTR and Trent versus Aussie Open and Ospreay, and I watched that. I thought it was awesome. And this is his first like big kind of singles match, and I got pretty hyped when they announced this match.
Yeah.
Dax has been putting in the work.
We always used to say Roddy was kind of
the workhorse.
Mr. like TV, NXT, and I feel Dax kind of got that role on AEW, just putting on great singles matches against anyone.
Yeah. Ospreay, I do miss his original music. I know it has the sample in it, but it's... Dun, 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 dun,
yeah,
dun, dun, dun.
I don't like this one as well.
This one doesn't work. It works because he's supposed to be a dickhead.
Can't sing along, though.
But he doesn't. He's a bad guy. You're not supposed to...
True.
Ospreay versus Dax. We get some crazy fast back and forth, and Ospreay hits like a snap Rana, but then Dax comes back with this huge backdrop and then some German suplexes, the Dax plexes. When we go to picture-in-picture, and when we come back from picture-in-picture with Dax in control, and then another German just folding Ospreay, sending him flying. This was awesome. Goes up top for a diving headbutt, but misses it. Then Will hits a springboard 450 for a near fall. Just crazy. There's then an avalanche back suplex into a counter from Will into a crossbody. There's some great back and forth, some near falls. A crazy, the rope assist, powerbomb from Dax to Will just crushing him for a near fall. There's then another, sit-out powerbomb, the Marufuji hook kick from Ospreay, an inside-out lariat from Dax, and Ospreay hits him with the Os Cutter, but Dax kicks out. So Ospreay pulls down the elbow pad and pulls out his hidden blade and nails Dax with it and puts him to bed here. But Ospreay beats Dax in just an awesome match. This was crazy.
This was really great. And to anyone who watched this show and hasn't seen Ospreay before, because they don't watch other stuff, I think this would have been a perfect introduction. Dax is so fucking good as well. He's
Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah, you could make that argument for Wrestler of the Year for Dax. I thought this was awesome.
Yeah, I really like the main event. It's a totally different match, but this, I probably could say this is my match of the night because it's just, the wrestling was so there. Will Ospreay used to be the guy that everyone says he's just a flippy guy and all that stuff, but he's completely well-rounded his everything.
There were some awesome counters in this as well. There was a Rana counter exchange into a sit-out power.
Trying to note this
was
really hard.
Yeah, really, really great match here.
There was some great back and forth. Dax is in the running for just the workhorse guy here. He's been putting on some great matches. Mr. TV, honestly. And Will Ospreay getting his introduction here. I hope we get to see more of him. I could see him eventually just working full on more dates down the line and not just around this Forbidden Door time. But good stuff. Really love this. Everyone always talks about match of the year and that always varies and stuff like that. There needs to be more people at the end of the year talking about TV match of the year. And this would be the hardest year to ever try to pick which one you would prefer.
Every week, that's one.
Every week, Dynamite at least has one match that you're like, wow, okay, that was awesome. I have to watch that back eventually. So love this stuff. Couldn't sing the praises of this anymore. And I see the internet says Will Ospreay is broke, but his gear looks real good. So I don't know.
He's broke?
Ever since Seth Rollins called him poor, the internet always calls him...
Oh, okay. Well, he did do a GoFundMe for his, mum's van or something, didn't he?
Huh. Yeah. Nice. Did his mom get the van? He could have just borrowed Trent's if he wasn't being such a dick to him.
I think his mom's name's Sue as well.
Whoa!
I think it's Sue Ospreay.
That's crazy. Interesting. He could have a Sue in every corner.
A Sue in every corner match.
After the match, there's a bit of a brawl with the United Empire guys and FTR when Cash comes out. When Orange Cassidy's music hits, the Pixies hit. Oh, that's always a good to hear that. He comes down and face to face with Will Ospreay one on one, which eventually they do announce that this is the match happening at Forbidden Door, and I instantly went, huh, that's not exactly where I thought we'd go, but wow, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I think it. I was expecting something bigger for Ospreay.
Yeah,
but then no disrespect to Trent, but it felt like that was the direction they were going, and I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
I think Cassidy is an upgrade from that.
100%.
And should be an interesting match. Should be a really good match. But I am like a bit, there are other people I feel I'd like to see Ospreay face.
We haven't seen Orange either for a while.
No. Yeah. So this was a good return. He's back from his injury. Weird seeing him standing with FTR. Like Dax was doing the lazy thumb.
Yeah.
I'm just like still kind of getting used to this babyface, like, FTR thing,
sure,
but
sure.
The fact that even babyface FTR would hang out with Orange Cassidy feels weird to me.
Well, he saved them. So,
FTR Chaos now as well?
No, they have their foot in. Oh, I mean, Punk left, so they got to find new friends.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. Well, I love the match. I like the setup. Of course, there's a lot of other people that we speculate. Oh, dream match. You know, who's Ospreay going to face? But Orange Cassidy versus Ospreay is an interesting matchup. So, I mean, they could have booked Orange Cassidy versus Suzuki, but they're cowards.
I mean, are they just waiting for GCW?
Yeah, GCW.
Do they still have dibs on that?
Yeah, do they
have tickets to that show?
Yeah, that's a dream match. But this could bang. I could go with that. We go to John Moxley promo talking about how he's hunted down everyone in New Japan, the big game like Naito, Suzuki, and Ishii. And mentions Tanahashi's the guy that's been on his radar, and he's looking for him, and they're going to have a face-to-face. We see some Kevin Kelly.
Yeah.
Shout out Kevin Kelly. Love his New Japan calls. And, well, we get to this segment, which is John Moxley and Tanahashi face-to-face. And John Moxley cuts a huge promo on him, talks about how you say you're the ace, but not for long, and that I am the best wrestler on this planet, and I play for keeps. So Tanahashi's son, after Forbidden Door, you're going to call me the ace. And it looks like Tanahashi is just itching to say something because he keeps trying to grab the mic when he thinks Moxley's done. But yeah. Then Moxley's like, no, I'm not. And then finally he grabs the mic and Chris Jericho's music hits.
Yeah, first of all, I thought this video package beforehand with Mox promoting this match and this promo from Mox really helped elevate this match for me. And it's done a good build in, what, a week's notice, really.
Sure.
So I liked it. Mox is always great on the mic, but I thought that was awesome.
But then we don't get Tanahashi's reply.
Not yet.
Chris Jericho comes out. Again, he's here. And he's now with Hager and Sammy and Tay.
Yeah.
Ty Conti. I always say Tay because that's how I spell it in my notes. Ty Conti. And, well, Jericho's like, hey, why do you get this shot at the championship? The only reason you won that was because I wasn't here last week. That was my opportunity, and you stole it from me. And I'm the one who should be the champion. And Moxley's just like, what? And Tanahashi has the mic, so he says, Jericho, shut up. So now it's a big brawl, and I started being like, hey, wait, who's that guy? Oh, wait, who's this guy?
So, yeah, Lance Archer and El Desperado run out from Suzuki-gun to join in the attack on Mox.
If you ever are at home, like, playing, I don't know, like, a drinking game, a smoking, any, like, bingo card of AEW, my favorite thing in the past, like, think, it's 3 years of this show, but how many times has Excalibur had to be like, that's Desperado from New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's always like, that. Hey, that's such
trying
and such
us,
from,
yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, well, like, why did Desperado need to debut in a beatdown announced in the match?
Okay, well, finish the set. It gets fucking weirder.
So Despy's out here with Lance.
Then Wheeler Yuta run out. they mention Shotaro Umino later.
Sorry. No, see, you're getting ahead of yourself. No.
Well, no, I'm trying to think who Wheeler runs out to join. Yeah. They're like the fight. And yeah. You've got like Blackpool Combat Club and stuff. And then Jericho gets on the mic and says that it's going to be Jericho, Suzuki, and Sammy Guevara taking on Wheeler Yuta, Shota Umino, and Eddie Kingston at Forbidden Door. I'm like, but Suzuki wasn't there.
Yeah, so why is Desperado debuting here?
I think it would... The thing is, this is on a show that, like, a lot of its hardcore audience do kind of know what's going on. But it's... To other people... And I watch New Japan as well, but it's... I think it's because these are Suzuki Gun. We're meant to see these guys, like with United Empire the other week.
Yeah.
We see Cobb and O'Khan, and our thought is, oh, Ospreay must be on his way. I think that's what they're trying to do here. But you're doing it with debuting people to most of this audience.
Yeah.
And it's like, and Despy's great. Like,
I'm imagining.
Why is Despy not announced?
I'm sure they like taped some stuff for Rampage, like kind of like they did for the other guys. But yeah, this was so messy.
And like, this is. Like, it's you say Forbidden Door. I'm expecting a whole card, apart from they do announce a women's match later, but a whole card of New Japan versus AEW. And this is an AEW guy and an AEW guy with a New Japan guy versus an AEW guy, and, like, a junior. You know, like... It doesn't sound great.
No, it doesn't sound definitely like one of the big dream matches, but I think it could still be a good match. I'm looking at it like with positive side. Half
isn't Shota Umino Mox's like young boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like I don't have the issue with that because yeah, that was a pretty fun story actually. And I think that if brought to light could be good on TV, but you didn't do that. You just had Jericho say this guy's name that not a lot of people would know if you don't know that.
And it's starting to get like... I think it's getting a little messy as well trying to promote Forbidden Door, which is days after, Blood and Guts,
yeah.
Which is days after Forbidden
Door. You're trying to do both things.
You're trying to do a lot of things, and they're trying to tie the feud together by having it like Mox and Kingston and Jericho, but it just, I don't know what I'm supposed to think. Like, you're trying to build, this segment should have been purely Mox and Tanner.
Yeah,
you could have set this up some other way.
Yeah, it was so weird that they
set this up after the hair versus hair thing earlier.
Very odd that they set this up. I thought it dampened the Mox Tana thing.
Yeah, because that got me hyped, and now it was an afterthought to this. I thought this segment was a bit of a mess.
Yeah, didn't really care for that one.
And as you said, like Excalibur weird. Just trying to explain everything, and then this match is announced, and you're like, what? Suzuki wasn't even there.
So Jericho also says that Sammy and
Ty.
Ty are now in the Jericho Appreciation Society. And then goes, oh, and then these guys are on loan. They're not in the thing, but they're just here. Despy. It's like, okay.
Weird. It's Tanahashi then says what? Shut up?
He did. It's really strange. I didn't get me hyped for the pay-per-view really at all. We get a video for Darby Allin. He's mad at Kyle O'Reilly for almost murdering him in the ring. And says he wants revenge, but Fish, he's going to get revenge on him for what he did to Sting. He's going to break his leg. I think this is on Rampage. This match is announced. Darby versus Fish. So that could be pretty fun. I'd be interested in that. Rampage has been having some good stuff on it, honestly. I've been checking it out like the day after or whatever, and it's only an hour. It really flies by. A lot of good wrestling. Well, we go to Toni Storm, who's cutting a promo. She's got a match against Britt Baker. And she says, Britt, you're a dentist, so I know you're smart, but you must know I'm not stupid, and I'm not falling for all your silly little tricks. And tonight, after I beat you, Tony's going to go on to be world champ. Tony time. Toni Storm.
It's Tony time.
Yeah, quick little promo, though.
Yeah, she's getting a bit better for me, both in ring and on mic.
We go to the All-Atlantic... Fatal 4-Way Qualifying Eliminator match. The winner of this goes into the Fatal 4-Way match at the Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
And, well, we get Canada versus Bulgaria here. Team Canada, let's go, baby. Hamilton.
I might have misheard, but I'm pretty sure Dasha said, originally born in Bulgaria.
Nice.
Like, originally born?
You're born in
Bulgaria. Just born in Bulgaria.
Originally,
he was born in Bulgaria. Then he was born in Russia.
Right.
And then he was born over here.
No. Okay. Well, it's Bulgaria versus Canada. This was weird when Excalibur, was he trying to explain everything what was going on here?
Oh, boy.
Like Excalibur, we didn't mention last week that the crazy rundowns is just insane. It makes me feel like I'm like a glitch in the Matrix. So he goes so fast, but today he was trying to explain.
Because there's matches going on in New Japan.
He's talking about
New Japan strong.
Hey, Ishii's going to face this one guy and then this other guy. Like, he's trying to explain this, and it's like, guys, we know it's Ishii. Can we not just say it's Ishii?
Yeah.
Like, announce it. You haven't announced shit for this pay per view.
Just announce Ishii
so the fans that know him can be excited, but instead you're like having him fight what, Honma or something?
What is it? There's Honma, there's Clark Connors.
Clark Kent. Yes.
And
crazy.
Kanemaru. So I think it's Ishii, Kanemaru, and Clark Kent, Clark Connors. You got me doing it.
Okay, well.
Against Honma, and then the winner
of this.
Of them will face each other.
And then don't forget
two rounds.
And then don't forget that there's the winner of Penta versus Malakai Black.
Yeah.
As well. Just great. Good stuff. Well, Canada versus Bulgaria here. Ethan Page has been doing a great week of social media, trying to taunt them. He's released a shirt like, Miro, you're going to pray to me and stuff like that. Like, I'll redeem you. Miro, though, early on, obviously seen some of the stuff and Ethan pissed him off. So Miro just starts slapping him around. Ethan's playing kind of the chicken shit heel, kind of trying to avoid him. When Miro finally gets entangled in the ropes and just starts doing like the almost 10 beats of the Baron here, just clubbing Ethan Page here. Eventually, though, Ethan slingshots back into the ring with a huge cutter for a near fall and then grabs the hands of Miro and puts them together in like the praying motion and says, Miro, you're going to pray to me. Pray to me. And Miro just gets pissed at this and just starts doing these headbutts and overhead throws. The first one just looked like he destroyed Ethan Page, just crushing him in half. A thrust kick, and then he yells, game over, and locks in the camel clutch, game over, recliner, bends it back. Ethan Page taps out immediately, and Miro advances.
Yeah, I Miro's great. I love just seeing him throw people around. Page, I kind of wanted another gear from this because I do like Ethan Page and I think the two are probably capable of something even better, but they wanted to have Miro just kind of dominate him. JR putting over Page a lot in commentary as well. They're clearly like quite high on him.
Yeah.
So that's like, I kind of wanted a bit more, but it was good for what it was. And I think no one really expected any other outcome for this.
Yeah. And we're going to get the huge Ishii Miro standoff in the match. When there's all these other guys flying around, Pac and Malakai Black flying around, and the two hosses kind of face-to-face, we get a big reaction, I think. I like this. It was quick and sweet, but it was what it was. Like, you knew this was the outcome. I love Miro, man. He's definitely become, like, he went from definitely like just this, like, afterthought of a character. It's just a complete different person. I love I can't wait to see kind of where he goes down the line, like, in a year, in 2 years. Where could he be main event material for AEW? Would you want to see him as world champ one day?
I think he's someone that you can put there at any point.
Yeah, like rocket it right away for a quick. Yeah, I think so. I think in a few months. I think in a few, we got still things going on, but yeah, one day for sure. We go to eliminator match, I guess, in a way, because the winner of this gets a shot at Thunder Rosa.
Yes,
at the Forbidden Door.
Yes,
which is later revealed. Tony Storm versus Britt Baker. Love Tony Storm's Barracuda theme. It's literally Heart Barracuda with just different words, and it's a banger. Britt Baker's got her entourage. She's got Hayter and Rebel, who are doing Hayter and Rebel things already early in the match, which then Thunder Rosa runs out to scare off Jamie Hayter, but Rebel's still there, I think. Rebel's like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
We'll just chill here. It's okay. So Rosa just chasing her off. Tony, ever since this happened, is now in control and beats down on Britt Baker, hits a DDT in the ring, and then Britt rolls to the outside, and Tony flips to the outside and hits a diving tornado DDT onto the floor, which was just brutal. Mm. Looked awesome. There's then Tony dragging Britt back in the ring. She eventually gets Britt into the corner for her high-speed ass attack to the head of Britt. And this looked like it knocked her out. And that's exactly what it looks like, because Britt starts selling as if she is
rocked,
like concussed almost here. The ref is checking on her. Hayter is like not sure what's happening. me watching, I'm totally like, oh my God, I think she's hurt. That looks like it really hurt. And, well, it's just the great selling of DMD Britt Baker as she gets an inside cradle, but Hayter kicks out. Wonderful selling from Britt. I totally bid. But this pissed off Tony, even though she, because earlier in the promo she said, I'm not stupid, and therefore fell for this, pisses Tony off, shows Britt she's definitely not stupid, and spikes Britt Baker with the Storm Zero sit-out pile driver, 1-2-3, Barracuda. Tony Storm beats Britt Baker.
Yeah, I really got into this, actually. I thought the fake-out with the, like, being rocked, playing possum, was awesome. Britt got me as well. Which made for a great, similar to the, you know, the Hurricane spot in the Jericho match at the beginning. Like, I bid on that. And then she hits her with that swinging neck breaker that she's put so many people away with.
Yeah.
So I bit on that as well. I love that spike pile driver, how it just almost comes out of nowhere. She just, Tony just falls into it.
Love it.
Yeah, I really like this. Both are kind of hot and cold. I'm hot and cold on both these women. But the last couple of weeks, Tony's like impressed with her singles, and I thought this was good.
So Forbidden Door, the women's match we're getting here, because there's no New Japan women. You could do Stardom, something down the line, maybe, perhaps. That would be pretty awesome. But we are getting Thunder Rosa versus Tony Storm on the pay-per-view. So, yeah, that could be pretty good. What's the deal with all this Thunder Rosa sandbag and stuff? We saw the match last week. I just thought Marina Shafir was just beating her up, being rough around the edges. But now the internet's, everyone Twitter
saying. Yeah, I mean, everyone's like sending that one tweet, that one gif around where it's like a suplex spot and she doesn't go up right away. I'd need to watch the whole match again to see if I notice anything else, but I don't know. Rumors.
Yeah, I think the match could bang if given the time. I don't know if you'd give the, I don't know if there's any merit to these things, and I don't know if that would alter, you know, maybe Thunder Rosa losing the title.
You think?
Tony Storm.
I mean, Tony kind of could do with it. I think they brought her in. She felt like a big star. And then I felt it went cold quite quickly.
Yeah.
So I didn't think it was right for her being knocked out in the, I thought she should have won the Owen, to be honest. And then gone from winning the Owen to challenging.
Yeah. Cause here she's beating Britt who won that.
Who won the Owen. Yeah. And I think Britt's already made here, you know, she can have a bit of a backseat and heat up that feud with Jamie Hayter. You can always go to that whenever.
For sure.
But I think Tony needed that momentum, and I think the momentum. Who am I?
Yeah.
But I think the.
By God.
She should have won the Owen and gone for this.
I think this match could be good, though.
Yeah,
so
I do.
I'm hyped. We get Stokely backstage. He's talking about how he's going to make his Rampage debut on commentary, which sounds great. Great talker. When Willow Nightingale walks by, and basically she's going to step in as the challenge for Jade. Should Willow join the whole baddie section here? Is that what this was getting at?
Stokely invited her, didn't he?
Come on, join the baddie section.
I want to be in the baddies.
Yeah, I want to be in the baddie section.
I think that's the thing. They want people, like, you know, if you don't want to do something, like, they want you to do it. Whereas if we're eager, maybe they'll be like, no, they're too eager.
You want to be in the baddie section?
So we don't want to be in the baddie section.
We don't want to be in the baddie section.
Because if you say we don't, we might, you know.
Trust me, you don't want none of this shit. And I think I want some of this shit. I think I do want to be in the baddie section.
Cut this shit.
I don't know how Jade went from not being on my list of favorite things on TV to definitely being one of my favorites.
Yeah,
she wasn't
missed,
even on
she
TV.
Was missed this
she
week.
Was missed this week. So cut the shit in honor of Jade. But yeah. We go to Hangman, Adam Page. He comes down to the ring. Cowboy shit. Not being cut here. He has a microphone. He says that he cut a promo and he talked about how he wanted the match with the title and he wanted the match with Okada, but Kazuchika Okada lost the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. He says, however, the sentiment has not changed and the challenge still stands. When he's interrupted, Adam Cole comes out on the ramp and says, hey, first of all, congrats to my boy.
Sorry, first of all, last week we had Wardlow be like, I didn't even want the AEW interim title.
Yeah.
I don't even want that. It's not real. It doesn't matter.
It's made up.
Then you've got just a bunch of jobbers being put in a battle royal to go for that title, potentially. And now you've got Hangman going, I don't even want the title. I just wanted to face Okada.
It sounded like he wanted to challenge Jay White. is what he was going to say.
Well, we'll never know. It's the spinning top, isn't it? It's the Inception spinning top. We'll never know.
Yeah.
I felt he was saying, like, I know you're not champ, but you and me still.
Yeah, we won't know because Adam Cole says, hey, first of all, congrats to Jay White. But yeah, Hangman, you're not facing Jay White because Adam Cole is facing Jay White in a super showdown of friends in the Super Elite and the Bullet Club. And, well, Hangman, you're not facing Okada either because Okada isn't even going to be there. And everyone else watching this, a lot of people just found other plans for that Sunday night.
I wouldn't go
there. No, I'm joking. I'm just, I know a lot of people would be like, wait, is this them trying to tell us that he's literally not going to be on the show?
Yeah, that's kind of how I took it.
Yeah.
I mean, this show's soon. Like, if you're going to announce an Okada match... What, you're going to do it on Rampage next week, right before the show?
It's going to be like Hangman's going to be in the crowd like John Cena at that one WrestleMania. And then TK's going to come over. John,
just hear the coin flip.
He's here. I got to get my gear.
He gives his beer to the fans. It is.
Yeah, if Adam Cole says Okada's not going to be there, so literally either like he's telling the truth or Okada shows up next week.
I mean, it's a heel. But
yeah,
like,
so maybe he's lying.
Yeah, I'm just at the point I want to know what the matches are.
Yeah, can we just know what the matches are? Holy. Okay, so it gets even weirder. So, yeah, this show is on one here. Adam Cole says, look, you're not getting him. But you know what? Let's bring out the new IWGP champion. And out comes Jay White. Well, his music hits, but Jay White doesn't walk out. Instead, he attacks Hangman in the ring from behind, beats him up, hits him with the Blade Runner, grabs a mic and says he's the catalyst of professional wrestling, and says... That Hangman couldn't even beat Punk. You lost. You're a loser. And the times we fought, well, it's 2-1 for the Switchblade. And I'm not going to be giving you the title shot at the pay-per-view. And Adam Cole's looking all cocky like, oh, yeah. And he says, and actually, Adam, it's not going to be you either. I'm not giving anyone a shot for this. I hold the prize. I hold the power, which means the whole world is going to breathe with the Switchblade. And Adam Cole's just like, Jay, wait, what are you... I thought Adam Cole looked like a geek at the end here with him just being like, hey, what do you mean I'm not getting a shot? He's Adam Cole. He could be like, excuse me, what are you talking about? Like, wouldn't you have more of a backbone?
Well, yeah.
Usually he does. He's the character who's usually running his mouth. So I thought it was a little backseat.
He's had a bit of a... Oh, he won the Owen, didn't he? But no, I know what you mean. I think that was the intention, though, to make Jay look like...
Bigger boss.
He's the big boss. He's the big bad, and it was, looking bigger than Adam Cole. He's the champion here. He's higher in the rankings in Bullet Club.
So, I mean,
again, what's the fucking match?
Hangman Jay White is what I would imagine. Now it sounds like it is going to be this triple threat.
Yeah, I think it is. Weird. Yeah. Which doesn't really do it for me. I will say, I think Jay White sounds like he belongs in this kind of promotion. You know,
yeah.
He sounds so confident. I think he's a really great heel.
Did you hear that promo from the...
Yeah.
After the match with Okada?
But just seeing him here on Dynamite, it just felt right. I think.
Yeah.
He definitely suited this environment.
He does. And same with Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
He was fantastic as well. Thinking back, Suzuki. You just hire Suzuki full time. Whenever he wrestled here, he always fit in with some of the matches. But yeah, Jay White fits in good. It's so apparent when it's like, okay, there's Okada's going to have a baby. Okay, now he's facing Jay White. It's like, okay, they're clearly subbing in their B guy now to be the fill spot. It always seems
Okada's
that way.
Okada's doing the G1.
Yeah,
so
okay.
So I don't know he's not giving
birth
to the baby.
But that's like in 2 months or something like that, I guess, right?
Yeah, but his baby's due in August.
Oh, okay. So that has nothing to do with that.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, so it's just, I don't know.
So what's Okada? Is he hurt or something? Like, weird.
Something's weird. Like, I just hate the booking of this show so far, of this Forbidden Door. It should be something I'm excited about and think about going, and it's just, they're not really delivering for me.
Yeah, I mean, the second they announced something that this is happening, everyone, including us, went off. Okay, here are these dream matches. Are we going to get this? Is it going to be this? And just
like Danielson, Zack Sabre Jr. was teased again this week, but no mention of that on this show.
Man, Zack Sabre Jr. saying that Bryan Danielson's busy playing golf with the Blackpool Country Club was top fucking chirps.
Like, why we should be having that, like, a replay of that instead of Dante Martin and Matt Seidel promoting
literally,
a match I've already forgotten about.
Yeah. Literally, you know? You just needed to,
like,
promote
sorry,
that.
Sorry, we need to...
Why didn't you just air that? Yeah, if that match
just
is happening...
Air it, like, a highlighted version of that.
So
to go,
weird.
All right, so we're probably... We haven't got the graphic yet, but you normally go, it's probably going to be this, probably going to be that.
Just announce it.
Just announce it.
Just announce it. Brian's not back until, like, next week or something, but, like, you could have had something. Just the graphic, and people will go, wow, this match is actually happening, but that's not the case. But, yeah, the promo from Zack Sabre Jr. that was kind of making the rounds everywhere was just brilliant, and I think that match will happen, and I think that will be the match that I think I'm most looking forward to. Who's the best technical wrestler? That should be the main event.
Yeah, that's my main event for sure.
I did skip over a Matt Seidel Dante Martin promo, but
I genuinely can't remember what they were
what they're promoting. Yeah. Well, they're promoting that I think it's Dante Martin's gonna go one-on-one with John Moxley.
Okay.
On Rampage. So Dante Martin's gonna
we've seen that before. Oh, was it in the tag? We saw that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. That'll be good.
Also announced for Rampage, Jade versus Willow, Darby versus Fish, and Gun Club with Max Caster in action. Ooh, is Max Caster going to rap about Vince McMahon? I bet TK's like, yeah, you can go off tonight.
Yeah.
Go nuts.
It's off to 10.
Go
like,
nuts.
Sure.
Go ham, bro. Yeah, and, well, we go to our main event here. It's a ladder match, but I'm calling it a TLC match because there's literally tables and ladders and chairs, oh my, everywhere. Here at ringside. This was supposed to be the triple threat. Obviously, the news with Jeff Hardy and everything. This is now a 2-on-2 AEW Tag Team Championship on the line. Jurassic Express defending against the Young Bucks. And you just know this is going to be exactly what it is on the tin. Just chaos here. There's a crazy Rana sequence when Nick Jackson does like the rope jump into the arm drag, but then Jungle Boy does that move too. So he counters that and then hits a high, crazy Rana.
And this is off the ladder now as well. So it's jumping on the ropes, jumping on the ladder.
And then not to be outdone, Luchasaurus starts doing some crazy stuff. Kip ups and moonsaults, a cross body off a ladder. There's then the locomotion from Matt Jackson off a ladder onto a ladder. And then more crazy Ranas. There's one Rana from, I think, Jungle Boy sending Nick through a table. There's then Jungle Boy getting powerbombed through another table. There's a Canadian Destroyer from the apron into the ring on Luchasaurus. And then a crazy 450, but Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, sorry, moves out of the way, and Matt Jackson does a 450 through a table. Sorry, that's probably Nick, knowing who does the 450s. But both of them, just crazy. Just nonsense. They go to picture-in-picture, and this is definitely one of the craziest picture-in-pictures ever, because this is just them doing all sorts of crazy
shit. They're setting up all the shit for
you see them doing
after the commercials.
Yeah.
So you're just seeing these ladders and tables getting stacked on tables.
It's like a whole pyramid scheme of tables on the outside. And then you got Matt doing like the holding Jungle Boy on the ladder while Nick's doing a swanton onto him onto it. It's just crazy. Never forget, though, that one like eight-man tag with the Bucks. There was a picture-in-picture with a Destroyer onto like everyone.
Right.
That was probably the craziest picture in picture. But yeah, this one was up there. When we come back, there's Jungle Boy in control. He does a moonsault into the ring to both Bucks, but caught upside down with a double super kick. Luchasaurus is in. He's hitting his choke slams and moonsaults and everything. There's then all these tables set up ringside, just like TLC 2, where all the setups of the contraptions and stuff. When they tease whoever climbs that ladder, you think they're getting pushed off. So you're like almost like getting teased of who's going to be the one to take this huge bump here. When there's a crazy poison Rana from Jungle Boy here, best move ever. There's then an elbow from like Matt Jackson to the outside through Luchasaurus through a table. This was crazy. There's then a BTE trigger they tease on the top of the ladder.
Yeah, I love this. Said there was the callback to TLC 2 with all four on top of the ladders doing it. And as you, but they don't do the spot through these tables, which seem far away.
Yeah.
I'm watching this ladder going, I don't know if you're making that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the tease of the BTE trigger on top of the ladders. We got to see that one day.
What would you that even look like? You would just fall.
How do you not fall off?
You would just fall if you did this. So actually, we're probably more so safe. Eventually, there's then the spot where Luchasaurus is the one on the giant ladder, and unfortunately, he's the one who takes it. Ah. He gets shoved off and goes flying. It looked like he landed pretty perfectly.
Yeah, I thought it looked quite fun.
I hope he's okay.
He's falling down, and then he turned, so he went took it all on his back.
Jeez, you're like, still falling
like
backwards.
He's falling on pillows.
That's like, what, almost 20 feet tall, and you're falling backwards?
This is a big guy.
Crazy looking spot. I jumped out of my seat. There's then the Bucks hitting the isolating Jungle Boy with the BTE trigger. They both climb the ladders. Nick Jackson just a bloody mess, blood streaming from his nose all over his face. They grab the titles.
Nick, wasn't it?
Yeah, Nick was Nick bloody, Jackson, yeah. And the Young Bucks are now two-time AEW.
Two-time, first ever.
First ever two-time AEW tag team champions. But wow, what a war, what a fight. Just chaos, craziness.
Yeah, really great ladder match. I get a bit sick of ladder matches because we see them a lot. But I actually thought I really enjoyed this one. I liked how everyone was constantly trying to get the titles. You know, a lot of the big spots, it wasn't. I never went, why didn't you just grab the titles?
Yeah.
Which I do in so many ladder matches where you're there, you've won the match. Now I'll hit a swanton. I'll hit an elbow drop through a table. I thought they were actually playing, like, trying to grab it pretty well in this. Does that make sense?
No. Yeah. You're like, 100%.
But they still delivered with these crazy spots as well. Yeah.
That's been an issue we've seen. Like, a lot of the, you know, like, talented, super talented young guys doing these multi-man ladder matches, especially indies or, like, I'm thinking like NXT UK, that one stuck out, where there's so many spots you're just doing to do the thing. You're not following the actual, like, story of what this match would be.
Yeah.
Here, they definitely, of course, you're exactly. setting up your stuff, but at the same time, you're literally trying to win. And the Bucks being the heels, they're like, we're going to kill you, so we know how to win this.
And I thought smart taking out Luchasaurus, because then you're like, oh, Jungle Boy, you're dead.
Yeah.
I really, really thought this was
stand up.
One of the best ladder matches I've seen for a while.
Exactly. Like I said, my match of the night was probably the match earlier. But then thinking back to this, I'm like, this is like such a memorable thing. And this is definitely a match you could show your friends who don't really like wrestling. And they'd be like, what did I just watch? Because that's how this was just definitely a special ladder match here. Both teams killed it. And you know what? You could do this again 2 years, rematch this, and they would one up it even more, 100%. I love this.
Well, see it with the Lucha Brothers involved as well.
I kind of secretly wish they added the Lucha Bros to that match when they pulled the Hardys, but this was just awesome. And you will get that. Think of all the crazy teams in any iteration, you could do this, but awesome, awesome stuff. But it wasn't the end of the show. The logo comes up. No, wait, that was NXT with the logo.
I feel like they did do the logo.
After the match, Luchasaurus is just taken out through all those tables. We get the doctor here helping Jungle Boy exit the ring, and Christian's like, yeah, I'll help. So the doctor goes out the ring first.
Christian first has been checking on Luchasaurus and kind of helping ice him and stuff.
Yeah.
He's there for him.
So Christian goes back in the ring, and he's helping Jungle Boy, but as soon as the doctor kind of leaves the ring, Christian pulls Jungle Boy back into the ring, hits the unprettier. I'm not calling it a kill switch. It's an unprettier.
It's an unprettier.
Hits the unprettier to a sea of boos. Yes, it finally happened. Christian Cage has turned on his young protege, his young boy, Jungle Boy. His young Jungle Boy. And you knew it was going to happen from day one, especially as of late with that hug.
Yeah, and they've left it, like, long enough, I think. When they first paired these guys together, I'm like, why is Christian with Jurassic Express? This is weird. And then it kind of worked.
Yeah.
It kind of fit. I thought they were going to go to this 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I thought it was executed perfectly. Because they also did, we've seen the teases where he's hugging him and you think he's going to do the turn.
Exactly.
And doing it again here, it's like, they could just be teasing us a little bit more. But finally did it.
Hits the unprettier, poses there, just stands there looking like a dick, then leaves the ring, grabs two chairs. We've heard this song before. It's a Christian concerto to Jungle Boy. Damn near look like, I don't know how this.
They look snug.
This had to be, I don't know how they do this
in
move.
In front of his mom and sister.
His family is there or something. Yeah, Jungle Boy's family's there. Just a menace, this guy. Christian Cage, then Christian, apparently after the feed cut, a lot of people on Twitter are saying that Christian went to his mom and said, "You raised a piece of shit." So, yeah. What a great ending to this show. I love Christian turning on Jungle Boy. Like you said, though, we knew it was coming for quite a long time, but absolutely love this.
Yeah. I love the closing angle.
I mean, the Forbidden Door show, obviously, we're not going to get Christian Jungle Boy, but whatever. I think you need to milk this. Don't let this match happen.
Can you? I mean, it's... You can't... September's a while away.
That's the next pay-per-view?
That's all out, yeah.
Okay, Blood and Guts, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a concerto. He shouldn't be on TV for
me. I feel it's a shame there's not a pay-per-view kind of July, August. Because it feels like, okay, he's just done the turn.
Yeah.
We probably need to... We've got a bit of juice in, like, storytelling before we just do the match.
It's... I mean, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus could sit out for a few weeks. They just took the biggest loss
of their
career.
I mean, actually, Jungle Boy... Yeah, and he's just had his
concerto.
He should be out for a few weeks.
Yeah. But when that match happens,
I thought they did it really well.
Yeah.
And Christian did the turn great. He looked... JR's call at the end was great.
What did he say?
Well, just like this sick bastard. Son of a bitch, all of that.
Creepy stuff. Little bastard.
Yeah, I thought he was great.
I had to dig out my Christian Cage shirt today, the Christian WWE shirt. I used to love this guy. Toronto boy, of course, got a rep, but he was always such a good bad guy. He's so good. He's so much fun to hate. I always loved that about him. The instant classic, Papa Peep here, the Captain Charisma. I'm hyped for this heel turn. Jungle Boy match will be good. We're going to have... Luchasaurus is going to be pissed. He's going to want to fight him. I think you get that match before you get Jungle Boy match to kind of wet your whistle,
yep.
Tease it, and he'll
and
be...
And Christian will then take him out
with
the concerto.
Yeah, damn,
pull the mask off.
Like, I know it's like you could be like, oh, it's so TNA. They're going back to Christian, and he had his whole run there. But I thought that it was executed properly. The older... And he looks great still. So,
yeah, he's... Yeah. And can still go... Like, I think this... No, this is a perfect feud for Jungle Boy. Something to get his teeth into.
This episode had a lot of good wrestling and some stuff that I really loved. Like, I definitely singing the praises of Ospreay versus Dax just blew my mind. And same goes with that ladder match. That tag team ladder match will definitely be talked about for a long time as well. AEW do pretty good ladder matches. And the Bucks going forward with the tag titles opens a lot of things up, I think. To do that, you could do them in the Forbidden Door with the Good Brothers or something like that. I don't know who we got. There's Bucks being champs here opens the door for a lot of challengers that we have in AEW going forward. So I think it makes things a bit more interesting. It's a good and it helps.
What's the Forbidden Door Bucks match? Yeah. Like that's I agree.
Kenny Omega.
I thought the wrestling was great on this show. I loved the Dax Harwood Ospreay match. I loved the main event. And I'm loving, the build to Blood and Guts.
Yeah.
And these other things. I am not loving this build to Forbidden Door at all. And I thought that was the low points on the show for me. I do feel the show has, as enjoyable as it is, has felt a bit messy the last few weeks.
It really does.
Maybe they're juggling a lot of stuff.
So we have Forbidden Door, John Moxley, Tanahashi. We have the four-way All-Atlantic title thing. We got the Jericho, Sammy, and Suzuki versus Kingston, Yuta, and Shota. We got Ospreay versus Orange Cassidy. It's for the IWGP US title, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. Orange Cassidy can get that.
Which he didn't have with him.
Yeah, it's because he hasn't gotten it back yet. There's a reason something is
juice. Is ill?
There's something why he doesn't have it, yeah.
Right, okay.
And his whole thing right now is New Japan screwing him, so it's kind of goes along with the gimmick. And then Thunder Rosa, Toni Storm has been announced as well. So we all are hoping by the time you listen to this, maybe they announce there's some way, some shape or form next week. Mm. Danielson, Zack Sabre Jr. I think it's exactly how
I'd be happy if the whole next week episode was just Excalibur slowly telling us what the card is.
Just reading out the card slowly.
Just read out the card slowly.
Yeah, tell us what it is and we'll be hyped.
And we'll be like, all right, we'll see you next week.
I do think you'll get Kenny Omega showing up with Don Callis, like RVD and who was RVD with? Alfonso at ECW One Night Stand. And Kenny's going to come out. You should begin to cast new wheelchair being like, this is all because of me. Maybe he shows up.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like that, with Kenny, with Punk, with potentially Okada not being on this show.
Yeah.
It feels like, yeah, cool. I'm sure it's going to be a good show. Like, I'm sure the wrestling's going to be great, come Forbidden Door. But I don't feel like it's the Forbidden Door we wanted.
Yeah. But maybe it's the Forbidden Door we all need. I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm still hyped. We're still going to watch it. Still going to chat about it. I'm sure it'll be an awesome show. AEW pay-per-views definitely have been awesome to watch. But yeah, that was Dynamite this week. Lots of some strange build to the thing, but honestly, the wrestling is why I watch wrestling, and the wrestling hit for me tonight. Absolutely love that stuff. I need to see more Will Ospreay on AEW, because he's killing it. He has had quite a good year, I'd say, because he started off with that match with Okada, which was just awesome, and he's just been killing it too. But yeah, and then so they announced another Aussie Open match, I think, as
was
well.
Was it Aussie Open Ospreay versus FTR and Orange? Was it?
Okay, yeah, FTR and Orange, or wait, was it Trent?
No, Trent Rocky and Orange.
Right, yeah, cool. The best friends. The best friends. Yeah, so we'll be back next week chatting all about some Dynamite and some Forbidden Door eventually. And then we're going to be in Detroit for Blood and Guts. If any listeners are out there, let us know if there's any cool bars to go to before the show. Maybe grab a pint or anything. There's your call out there for Detroit fans. So
yeah, I would love to meet you.
Yeah.
Anyone in Detroit for that show.
Going to the Little Caesars Arena. It looks like there's going to be a lot of people there. I'm excited.
I'm going to have some Little Caesars at the Little Caesars Arena.
Nice.
Never had it. People don't say good things, but I still like the commercials are good.
So wait, your plan is to have Little Caesars at the Little Caesars? Yeah. That's not a bad idea, you know?
Yeah.
Something you could always tell people.
Give me food recommendations.
I want to go to the Smoothie King Arena and have a smoothie.
I've been to the Smoothie King Arena.
And had a smoothie? No, no, no.
No, I think they did do good, like, popcorn shrimp, though.
There. They need a popcorn shrimp arena.
Yeah.
You can go and get popcorn shrimp. I mean, you can go to that one crypto place and get crypto, right? Oh, wait, too soon.
Has that gone now?
No, but crypto seems it has.
Yeah.
Well, go listen to Up Next, where we chat all about NXT, of course. This show, BD Elite, chatting all about some BDE, some Dynamite, all the fun stuff. We will be back. We also want to recommend our patreon.com/upnext. We do so many podcasts, so many wrestling reviews. We have so many podcasts in that back catalog. $5 a month gets you everything coming out this month and everything we've done, all the best matches ever, all the retro pay-per-view reviews, retro NXT reviews, everything. It's pennies per podcast. Go check us out. It's what we do. And we would appreciate you guys checking us out and letting us know if you like our shows.
Yeah, do it.
And our podcast.
Subscribe to YouTube. Subscribe to YouTube.
At Up Next Podcast on Twitter and, the Facebook group as well, if you haven't joined it already. I myself, Brayden Harrington, you can find me on Twitter and I'm on Instagram. I am at the Bray D.
And I am at Xavier Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And don't be a toss pot.
Ahoy!